The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to a very special and spooky episode of Avery After Dark. I'm your host, Avery Ross. I hope everyone had a fabulous Thanksgiving. And while this season is often filled with twinkling lights, hot cocoa, and festive cheer, there's something great about gathering around to share a chilling ghost story during these long, dark nights. This episode, I've got four spine-tingling true paranormal encounters. So grab a blanket, dim the lights, let's dive into the paranormal. Our first story, this is apartment 205. Shortly after moving into my new apartment, I found out the guy that used to live there mysteriously disappeared. I didn't know that when I rented the place, but a few weeks after moving in, I ran into a neighbor down the hall and she gave me all the information. I don't want to give his name out of privacy for him and his family, but it was a pretty big story where I live in the Southwest. My neighbor said he only lived in the apartment for about a year, was in his 30s, and was a big music lover. This neighbor often heard it blasting from his apartment, but he ran with not such a great crowd though. My neighbor said she saw a few shady-looking characters coming to and from his apartment on a number of occasions leading up to his disappearance. She didn't know what they were up to exactly, but assumed it was something illegal. After he disappeared, police were at the apartment complex asking questions and asked this particular neighbor for descriptions of the men she saw at his apartment. But that was it. The investigation never seemed to go anywhere, sadly. It became a cold case. Weeks turned to months and months to years. This young man disappeared in 2016, and they have never found him. My neighbor was optimistic, saying maybe he just up and left, wanted to start fresh somewhere else. But I didn't think that was true. I felt he was probably dead. I've watched enough true crime to know that people don't often just up and leave their life, their entire identity. I felt something horrible must have happened to him. I did some research on my own after learning this. Police said he was last seen leaving a friend's house about 10 minutes across town late one night. Friends that were with him said he was supposedly going to walk home, but that was the last anyone ever saw of him. And according to the news articles I could find, investigators believed something happened to him on his walk home. When I saw a photo of the young man, I immediately felt a strange connection to him. Seeing as we both lived in the same apartment, I felt sad about it. And after I researched him, things started to get really strange. I had been in my apartment for a bit and nothing unusual had happened before, but this is where things took a turn. It started off small. I would notice lights turned on that I knew I had turned off. I would come home from work and find cabinets open, and items of mine moved around. Specifically, the keys to my apartment. I would find them in the strangest places. I am a pretty organized person. I always kept them in a dish by my front door, but they were always missing. I found them underneath my bed on one occasion, like someone tossed them underneath it. And on another occasion, on top of the refrigerator. I chalked this up to me being forgetful. It was a new place after all, and I was still settling in. But to be honest, I think I was just trying to make myself feel better because I had just moved in. One night, I was asleep in bed when I was jolted awake to the sound of music coming from my living room. Now, it was faintly playing, but loud enough to hear it. I looked at the clock and it said it was 3:32 a.m. Groggy, I wondered, did I leave the TV on? No, I didn't even watch TV this night. And plus, I would have heard it on earlier if I did. Sounded like some kind of song from the 80s. I slowly got up, walked towards my bedroom door that led to the living room area, and all of a sudden, the music stopped. I'm serious. I twisted the doorknob, and the music came to a halt. It was so quiet, I could hear a pin drop. This was pretty disturbing for me. And I was too chicken to check out there, so I locked my door and slept with my bedroom light on the rest of the night. I began to associate this activity with the young man who disappeared. It was just a bizarre coincidence that as soon as I found out about him and looked him up, it all began. As the days went by, I tried to rationalize it. Maybe it was the neighbor's music I heard. Could it be? A week later, it was around 10 p.m., I was doing some work at my kitchen table when from behind, I felt someone quickly tap me on the shoulder. I nearly jumped out of my skin. I flew up out of the chair, whipped around to find no one there. I am 1,000,000% certain someone tapped me. I didn't imagine it. It felt as real as anything. Like when you were younger and your friends would tease you by tapping your opposite shoulder to get you to turn around. It felt exactly like that, a pranking energy. The fact that this spirit was now getting physical, I was very afraid of my apartment and started spending the night at my parents' place more and more. So much so that they began to joke that I might as well give up my place and save my rent money, because I was only sleeping at the apartment one or two nights a week. A few weeks later, I went back to my apartment to shower and change before meeting some friends for dinner. And at this point, I made the decision to not acknowledge the activity in hopes that it would make it stop. This was my apartment, and I was going to make it work. I had music blasting in the bathroom when suddenly I heard a loud commotion come from the kitchen. I had a few pots stacked sitting on the kitchen counter ready to be put into the dishwasher. And when I walked into the kitchen, I found them all on the floor, like someone had just shoved them off the counter. There was no reason for them to have fallen off on their own. And I knew this was him. I tried to tough it out, but this was the final straw for me. I ended up breaking my lease early. Yeah, I lost my security deposit, and some people might say that's dumb. But I just couldn't stay there any longer. The activity was getting worse, more personal. I genuinely felt bad for whoever moved in there after me. But I also felt sadness for this young man who lived there and disappeared. I believe he is dead, and I know that he is haunting the place. He's still there. His case is unsolved. His body has never been found. And I think he felt that that was still his apartment. And I was just intruding.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tales of doppelgangers and mimics are some of the most terrifying encounters you will ever hear. The experiences are so jarring and unexplainable. And this next story illustrates just how truly horrifying these paranormal entities can be. This is the Kiss Hello. A few hours ago, my husband came home from work for the day. Earlier than usual, but today was a training day, so I didn't think anything of it. There was nothing at all unusual about how we interacted. He says hello, comes over and gives me a kiss, asks me about my day, I ask about his, and then he goes to the bathroom to change. I went to a different room and was scrolling social media for a while and noticed how quiet it was. I called for him, "Babe?" No answer. I say it another time, but no response. I think maybe he fell asleep, so I go and check on him, and he's not there. TV is off. Weird. He usually tells me if he's going to work in the garage or out in the yard. Not out back, not in any other rooms, not in the garage, not in the front yard. I notice when I look out front that his work van is missing. Now I'm really confused. Did he really just leave the house without giving me a kiss? Or telling me he's leaving? Never in all these years has that happened. I instantly call his phone and it goes to voicemail. He texts back right away and asks if I'm okay. I say, "Babe, where did you go?" He messages and says that he can't talk at the moment because he's still in CPR training. I ask him, why didn't he say goodbye? And he asks me what I'm talking about. Because he kissed me this morning when he left. He told me that he hasn't left work for the day yet. Okay, now I'm losing my mind. I say, I had a whole conversation with you. A hug. You went to the bathroom. What do you mean you haven't been home? He says I have to be confused or something because it definitely wasn't him. And no one set off his ring alert. I'm 43 years old and have never hallucinated in my life. My husband and I have been friends together for over 7 years. It's not in his nature to do something like this as a prank, especially because we used to have a problem with a spirit of some sort when we moved into our home. We named him Loki because at first it was just a little funny mischief. Then it became more obvious that there was an entity of some sort causing things to happen in the house. It progressed to me feeling touched in my sleep, minor at first, and then more aggressive, like yanking on my foot. I had gotten so scared that I was looking for local paranormal groups to help get rid of the spirit. My husband sort of shrugged off the touching part. He thought imagination or dream, until it grabbed and yanked his foot from the covers, and he flipped out. We were scheduled for a complete home renovation last February as part of a TV show. After the renovations and before the reveal, the station had a chaplain come and bless our home for us. We hadn't mentioned the spirit to them. After we moved back home, we never had another encounter. We've been so thankful we haven't had any issues for the last 15 months. Have you ever heard of a person's friend or family being impersonated like that? If so, why would they do that? It was like a clone of my husband. I'm at a loss. In an update, this woman shared that they checked the detectors and batteries in their home, and this was not a case of a possible carbon monoxide leak. So is this the spirit that was tormenting them reappearing, taking on the form of her husband? There's so much mystery surrounding the doppelganger phenomenon. As we've covered on the show, some encounters seem harmless, while others are menacing. What do these entities want? Now, our next story. Children often have imaginary friends, and it's a sweet concept. They have someone to play with, laugh with. But things can take a turn from heartwarming to scary when you realize this imaginary friend isn't just a figment of a child's imagination. It could be something so much worse. This is my friend Charlie. Back when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend named Charlie. From what I remember, Charlie was around from the time I was about 4 years old up until I was 9, when my family moved into a different house. So I spent 5 years talking and playing with Charlie. My parents encouraged it, because I didn't have any real friends or siblings, and it wasn't uncommon for a lonely kid to create an imaginary friend to play with. I was a loner, and still very much am today. Charlie told me he used to live in my house before my family moved in. I believed him, because we often played hide-and-seek and he knew all of the best hiding spots. He knew things about the house that even I didn't know at the time. A couple times I asked him where his parents were and why they didn't live in the house with him, and he never gave me an answer. After a year or so, he started asking me to do strange things, like stealing change from my mom's purse or hiding my dad's car keys so he would be late to work. Random, mischievous stuff like that. When I refused, his request became much more sinister, telling me to push my mom down the stairs or start a fire in my parents' bedroom. Of course, I again refused. Charlie became more cold, and instead of wanting to play, he only suggested doing things to hurt me or my parents. I was scared of him. I never told my parents what he said, only that I didn't want to play with him anymore. When we moved out of that house, I didn't bring Charlie with me. I forgot about him for many years until a few days ago when my mother asked me if I remembered having an imaginary friend growing up. That's when all of this started coming back to me. I did some research into the history of my old house and found there was indeed a young boy named Charles whose family lived in the house about 15 years before mine and apparently died at a young age. But I couldn't find any information as to how or where he died. So, is it a coincidence that my creepy imaginary friend and the kid who died in my house shared the same name? Why was he telling me to hurt my parents? Did I imagine him? Or was he a ghost?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Given that it's the holiday season, many are traveling to see family and friends. Those days of travel can become restless, and the nights, a bit eerie. Few things are creepier than traveling down an unfamiliar road. You never know who or what you'll come across. Our next story details a truly chilling account. of an unforgettable road trip. This is the Phantom Rest Stop. Back in the mid-80s, we were traveling through Tennessee on the way to visit friends in Texas. My mom was driving. I, a teenager, was navigating by using a paper map. These were the days before cell phones and GPS. Made it past Nashville on I-40 pretty late at night. We're maybe an hour outside the city. I'm charting our progress old school, pencil and paper. We pass an exit. I mark it. A minute later, a thunderstorm hit. Visibility dropped to nothing. All traffic slows to a crawl, and we decide to pull off at the next possible exit and find a motel to spend the night because there's no way we're making significant progress in this storm. Slow, white-knuckle driving ensues. An exit looms up on the right. No signage we can see in the downpour. So at the top of the exit ramp, we turn right towards a brilliantly lit-up gas station. We're on this dinky little road now. To our right, gas station, which we're rapidly passing. To our left and back behind some trees was what looked like a motel, but you couldn't make out the sign well in the rain. Drove past the gas station before we really realized that the road just ended ahead. The gas station was the only building on this side of the road. It went from a 1.5 lane paved to 1 lane gravel. Long story short, our car gets stuck in the mud. So we hop out into the rain and mud and walk over to the gas station. The place was spotless, super bright, and had two young men behind the counter. What sounded like one of Elvis's songs was playing on their radio inside. The attendant's first words on seeing us walk in was, "Did you get stuck in the mud?" And they said it in a super enthusiastic, way too happy greeting, like a Disney staffer welcoming you as you walk into the park for the first time, levels of happy to see you. Also, these night shift clerks were dressed in suits that looked about 30 years out of date. This place was kind of creepy. Admitted we had gotten stuck, asked if there was a tow truck company we could call. They pulled out a phone book, again, this was before cell phones or the internet, and started talking to each other. Not a Nashville phone book, some little township. The population couldn't have been more than 100 from the handful of white pages. But the book had dozens of yellow pages of nothing but tow truck companies. Literally, hundreds of tow truck companies for this town too small to appear on a map. Attendants had a friendly debate about whose turn it was to come get the car out of the mud. Decided to skip over the company who was theoretically next because there had been some sort of problem with them the last time they were called out for a tow. Made the decision on who to call and let my mom use their phone. More weirdness. Creepiness intensifies. Still storming, though less now. Tow truck arrives maybe 5 minutes later. Brilliant white, not a speck of dirt or a drop of mud on it. I've seen vehicles in a new car lot that were dirtier. Two young men in the truck were also dressed like they stepped out of the 1950s. Freshly polished, patent leather shoes without a drop of mud on them. Starched white shirts, paper hats, and bow ties. We hike across the street and next door to the mud pit where our car is stuck. Tow truck guys are horrified. "They almost got out of the mud," they say to each other repeatedly. The subtext from their shocked tone is clear. No one must ever, ever escape the mud pit on their own. These people will have to take some sort of action to make sure no one else gets as close as we did to escaping. They tow our car out. Easy peasy. We all go back to the gas station. Pay tow truck drivers for services. Tow truck drivers let gas station attendants know Mom and I almost made it out of the mud on our own. And the attendants are horrified and shocked by this. By now, I'm getting huge Uncanny Valley vibes from all four of these men. And not just them, the whole place is too clean, too brightly lit, and too weirdly out of date. It was perfect. If these guys were humans, there was something seriously off about them. If they weren't, they almost had their ordinary human act down pat. The tow truck drivers drive off, attendants turn, all super friendly again, and ask Mom and me if we're going to stay the night at the hotel across the road. They're so excited that we might spend the night here. Talk about how great it is. My mom and I make non-committal noises and return to the car. I tell my mom we're not staying here tonight. She agrees wholeheartedly, and the rain is finally letting up. We drive straight back out to the interstate, did not pass go, did not even go near Creepy Town's motel parking lot. We drive down I-40 to the very next exit, maybe just 5 miles. We pull off and spend the night at kind of a gross but ordinary motel. We joked, at least it's not the Bates Motel. The rest of the trip went well. Then several days later on the way home, Mom and I decide we really like to see the creepy town in the light of day. It couldn't have been that weird, could it? Heading back up I-40, past the exit where we actually did spend the night on the way down, we can see the hotel. Exit number matches notes I had made on the map, and we start looking for the next exit. The exit to the creepy town should be about 5 miles along, with an overpass. 5 miles pass, no exit, no overpass. 5 more miles later, before we find the next exit off I-40, it's the one I had marked as being right before the storm first hit. In short, the creepy town exit doesn't exist. I've traveled I-40 many times since, often remarking that, hey, there's the exit where that weird storm hit and we went into that creepy town. And there's the exit where we actually did spend the night. I've never found the creepy town exit between these two points ever again, day or night, rain or shine. To summarize, in the mid-80s, my mom and I dropped into the twilight zone while passing through Tennessee and noped our way out of there as fast as they would let us. Scary road trip stories are some of my all-time favorites. And hearing about these strange towns that people come across that later find out don't even exist, oh, so creepy. I love it. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of Avery After Dark. If you want all these episodes early and ad-free, join the Patreon. Make sure you leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Next episode, I've got so much more spookiness coming your way. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.